Welcome to Sisters of Sound. I'm your host, Morgan Shepherd, coming from the Tattoo Sound and Music Studios in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Happy New Year! It's our first pod of 2019. New year, new you. Although we're not actually subscribing to that whatsoever, we are going to still keep on kicking and interviewing amazing women working in audio. My career in audio started with radio. I was on air in the Maritimes for a few years before moving behind the scenes, where I am right now, although I'm actually not behind the scenes because I'm hosting this podcast. But anyway, I know a thing or two about the radio biz. And one thing that I know for sure that kind of was peeving me off was that I had never once met a female radio producer before. In radio, audio engineers, the ones recording and mixing and making sounds, are called producers. Producer is a term that has blanketed many industries, so I thought I'd point that out before we get into this podcast. Anyway, so I was like, where in the world are all the female radio producers? And I put a call out on Facebook and on LinkedIn and Twitter, and I got a whopping 9 suggestions of people. So great. Yes, there are 9 female radio announcers out there from my network, which still doesn't really seem like a lot. And I was chatting with another female radio producer, and she said she knew 4 in the entire country. That's crazy because there's about 10,000 people working in the radio industry across the country. So for me to only come up with 9 is far too low, but that's why we're here and we're chatting about it. And the good news is we have someone here with us today. So for the few female radio producers that are out there crushing it and working their way up in a department of radio that has been heavily male dominated since the beginning of the radio industry, keep doing you. Today's guest is the imaging producer for Sportsnet 590, The Fan. She has been called a unicorn because not only is she a female radio producer, she is one for a sports station, which makes her even more rare. Her name is Elizabeth Hart. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having me. This is fantastic.
It's always great to have local peeps on the show. I feel like I'm very blessed to be hosting this podcast in Toronto, where we are, you know, we are the center of all things sound in the country.
I thought you were going to say the universe, and I'm like, well, don't say that. Everybody else thinks that. We think that already.
I know, but like when it comes to entertainment, it is true.
It is very true, absolutely.
And I'm allowed to say it because I'm from the East Coast and had no choice but to come here in order to work in this industry.
Oh, so. I bet. That's crazy.
So I'm like the one person who's allowed to say it.
Yeah.
How was your work day today?
Today was pretty good. It was on the busy side. We got all of the New Year stuff going on, so people trying to get people in doing New Year's resolution-y type things. Yep. And everything. Because I am the imaging producer for Sportsnet 590, I do also produce some commercials for all 4 Rogers properties.
Okay.
So that includes 680 News, KISS 92.5, yep, and 98.1 CHFI as well. So on top of coming in and having to worry about, like, what am I thinking sports-wise right now, I also have to think of, like, I got a few longstanding clients that I work on or just try and help out the other commercial producers.
Yeah.
That are going on as well.
So many different hats to wear.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun, and I actually do some voice work myself, too. So every once in a while, I'll have a producer coming into my studio saying, hey, can you come and voice this for me?
Yeah.
As well. So I'm kind of like all over the map. Each day is pretty different.
Cool. When did you know you wanted to get into radio? Like, how old were you? Were you just one of those kids who was like, I'm going to be on the radio?
No, it was actually never really on my radar at all.
Really?
No. I had...
So you weren't like into playing radio contests when you were a little tyke?
No, not really. I did, like, in high school once, yeah, my friend and I stayed up all night trying to win tickets to an NSYNC concert.
All right.
But that was more because I was a really big NSYNC fan, not because I was like, radio's awesome.
Totally.
Radio's awesome because they can give me tickets to an NSYNC concert.
Yes.
And yes, we did win them and we had an amazing time.
Yeah, great.
It was phenomenal. Anyway, it's kind of funny because I feel like it is actually a very, like, girly way that I got into radio.
Street team.
At all. No.
Oh.
When I was in high school, we had a radio club, where they would actually like let people go in and do shows over the speakers in the cafeteria at lunch hour, which nobody's listening to and nobody can hear because it's the cafeteria, it's lunch hour, it's packed, right? But it was still a fun experience and a way for people to kind of get into the world of radio. And my best friend had a huge crush on the girl, on a guy who was part of the radio club. And she wanted to get to know him better. So she was like, I want to go join radio club, but I can't go by myself, so come with me.
Oh, okay. I swear to God that this is like a TV show called Radio Free Roscoe. That was on the Family Channel when I was a kid. But anyway, continue.
I've never seen it. But yeah, it was hilarious. So I was like, okay, sure, whatever. Like, I'll go along. It'll be fun. And then she got a boyfriend for a few months and I ended up with a career for life. So.
Oh my gosh. So you just like fell in love with it?
Yeah. I was like, this is actually really fun and seems like it'd be something really cool to do. I want to kind of learn more about it. So in my next year of high school, I did a couple of co-op placements at some local radio stations back in Kitchener, Ontario, is where those were. And the first one I did was very promotions oriented. And I actually didn't really enjoy the placement all that much because it was kind of, it wasn't even necessarily a radio, like it got you into a radio
more
station.
Marketing.
But yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was kind of more for anybody who wants to do anything related to marketing or promotions at all, not necessarily radio. And it was very difficult for me to kind of get into any other department within radio at that one. So for the next semester, I actually switched to a different radio station, and it was 98.5 CKWR, which is just a little community station that was run out of an old house. They had a station cat that used to sit on the receptionist desk and stuff. And they would basically let me do whatever I wanted. They were like, ah, you want to go? Hey, the morning show guy called in sick. Why don't you come in early and co-host with us?
It's a great way to learn everything.
Yeah, absolutely. So I just kind of got the bug then and went to college, Fanshawe College, for radio broadcasting.
Awesome.
And it's like, oh, this is actually really awesome.
And just kept it rolling from there.
Yeah.
It's funny that you mentioned that in high school. I had a similar experience where we had a program called ABJ, Applied Broadcast Journalism. And there was a TV in every classroom, and the class produced the announcements every day like it was a TV show.
Oh, cool.
And I was obsessed with it, and I was like hosting the announcements. And people were like, hey, you did a great job. And I was like, hey, thanks. This could be my job.
Yeah, right?
And then it just all went from there. So
that's,
I think,
awesome.
You know, there's something to be said about high school and the influence that it can make on you later in life.
Absolutely.
So how long have you been in the industry now?
Oh, don't ask me that. Too long. That's going to give state secrets
away. I mean, but you've done a lot.
Yeah. I've been in the industry for, I guess, let's see, it is now 2019. So go back to like 17 years now.
Yeah.
It's been.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's not an easy industry to be in.
No, it isn't.
It's very cutthroat.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's changing.
Oh, it's constantly changing.
I'm trying say it in the nice way possible that people get laid off all the time.
Yeah.
So congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
for crushing it. When did you start producing and move from, you mentioned that it was difficult to work, to move from that typical promo position. And when I said, did you start off on the street team? That's kind of how everyone gets their foot in the door.
Yeah.
But then it is hard to move from that into the position you actually want to be in, whether it be hosting or producing. So how did that happen for you?
Yeah, so my first my first job out of college was actually at a station called 1240 CJCS in Stratford, which people might know is where Lloyd Robertson actually got his start.
Very cool.
Awesome. They actually had a tie signed by him up on the bulletin board in the sales office. Anyway, they hired me out of college. Ironically enough, again, like to do promotions, they needed a promotions assistant.
It's always the way.
I know. I was like, oh, I kind of don't really want to do promotions. But again, it's a foot in the door.
Yeah.
It'll get me working into a radio station. And I grew up like just 20 minutes outside of Stratford. So I was like, oh, it's nice that it's still close to home and that sort of thing. So I was like, yeah, sure, I'll take it and see what happens. Yeah. And maybe I work there for a bit and move on somewhere else, or who knows. And after working there for a bit, just as doing like promotions and then a bit of on-air work as well, the guy who was doing production there at the time left to go and work in Kingston. So they needed to hire a new producer, and they said, hey, are you interested in learning this at all? And I had done a little bit of production in college, but not super heavy. Like, I enjoyed it enough, but I didn't really focus on it all that much. Yeah. There was enough other people in my class that were already doing it. And I was like, oh, I was going to let them do their thing. And I was enjoying doing announcing more.
Yep.
So when they asked me if I wanted to learn more about production, I was like, yeah, it seems like at least I would enjoy that more than the promotions part.
Yeah.
So I took over from that guy when he left.
Amazing.
And just kind of learned it all myself and still continued to do a lot of on-air work. Like, I always joke that I was hired there as a promotions assistant. And by the time I left 5 years later,
yep,
my job titles were production manager, midday announcer, website designer, assistant music director, and assistant engineer.
It's crazy how that is kind of the way things have moved in radio. The same thing happened with me when I was like 19 working at a radio station. They were like, well, we don't have a music director anymore, so can you do this? And host the midday show. And you also do all the promotions and run around and drive the cruiser. And anyway.
And make sure you bring everybody in coffee in the morning.
Yes. And go to sales meetings.
Yeah.
But that's just the way it is. So let's talk about sports.
Sure.
So, you know, now you're at Sportsnet.
Yep.
What was it like getting into that world and as a female?
Yeah, it was very interesting for me because I actually, like, I didn't start, when I first started at Rogers Radio in Toronto, I applied for the Sportsnet 590 imaging producer position, and I didn't get it. And in fact, I didn't get a phone call. By the time I got a phone call,
here you are now, though.
Exactly, right? Like, it all comes around full circle. But the thing is, like, by the time my boss called me, I had forgotten I had even applied for a job here.
Wow.
And he called me and he said, I know you had applied for this Sportsnet imaging position, but we filled that internally with someone else.
Yeah.
But now that guy's position is open. And I was wondering if you wanted to interview for that job.
Oh.
Which was commercial producer at the time. So I was like, oh, of course, absolutely. I'll interview for that. Again, a foot in the door.
Yep.
Who knows where it might lead. And then one thing kind of led to another, and I started as a commercial producer, and then they were looking for someone new to do imaging for 680 News. And I was like, and my boss knew that I was very much interested in doing imaging, so he had approached me about it. I was like, yeah, absolutely. And then eventually there was some more shifting within our department, and the opportunity came for me to do Sportsnet imaging. I was like, yes, absolutely, I would love to. The nice thing is, by the time that happened, it was well known within my department and within everybody, like, how big of a sports fan I actually am.
Yeah. Okay. That's good.
Yeah. So I feel like if I had just come into the building and nobody knew me or anything, and I said, oh, I'm going to do Sportsnet imaging, that I probably would have had a bit more of an uphill climb with it.
Yes.
As a female.
Yeah.
Because there are so few female imaging producers at all. Never mind ones that are doing sports station. But when you already have that background, you've been working there for a few years, and people know, like, as you often have to do in radio, if you don't live with someone and have a second income, you have to find your own second income. And my second income is actually with the Blue Jays.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I work selling 50-50 tickets there during the summer.
Amazing.
And I love it, and it's so much fun, and I'm a huge Blue Jays fan.
Beautiful. And so, like, you're already at work talking about sports all the time.
Exactly.
And they're like,
and everybody knows that, like, any day they come in, and I could be wearing a Raptors shirt or a Leafs shirt or a Jays shirt. Like, you caught me on and off day to day that I'm not wearing a sports team.
I love it. For those that don't know the difference between a radio commercial producer and an imaging one, can you explain that and why you wanted to do imaging so bad? Because, I mean, so good? Why you wanted to get into imaging?
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny because I feel like I'm still trying to explain to my mom exactly what it is that I do.
Even. Yeah.
Like, so many people, there's even people within the radio industry that if you say, oh, I'm an imaging producer, they're like, a what? What do you do? And they don't understand. And I always just, like, my quick answer is I produce all the stuff you hear on the station that you don't realize you hear.
Mm-hmm.
But basically imaging is like
the frosting on the cake.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the station promoting itself.
Yeah.
Anything with the station, there's always that big voice that says Sportsnet 590, the fan, and anything with that on it. And it's just, I feel like I prefer doing that over commercials because to me, I just find I have a little more creative license and a little more openness to it that I can play around with it a bit more.
Yeah.
Whereas like with commercials, you get, here's your set script and this is the sound effects they want and this is the type of music that they want and this is the kind of voice that they want.
Yes.
And everything. And a lot of it is kind of already laid out for you.
Yeah.
And you can take some creative license within that to create your own thing. But then there's also another client involved that might come back and be like, no, that's not what we had in mind at all. And yeah. There is still that when you do imaging, because there's the program director of the station who is essentially your client.
Yes. I was just going to say that. It's like working for clients or working for the big client, which really is the brand of the radio station.
Yeah.
But lucky for you, you love sports, so.
Yeah. So it's pretty fun and it's pretty, you know, creative in that I can go and find like the most random weird things and find ways to work them in.
Cool. What was the most favorite thing you've ever produced in the imaging role for Sportsnet?
I think my favorite thing that I've done, I always love doing the season openers for the Blue Jays. Because for the first game of the season to kick it all off, we always produce this big, massive, like get everybody hyped
yes.
for the entire season kind
so
of thing.
Fun.
And the one that I did for the 2018 season, I actually managed to work the Imagine Dragons song, Believer.
Yep.
Into it and weave a lot of like play-by-play calls and stuff like that and just kind of create this whole thing to get everybody really excited for the season. One of my favorite ones that I did just recently actually was I produced an intro for a show called Hockey Central Saturday that airs on the Sportsnet Radio Network on Saturday nights. So I took the song Panic at the Disco where they have that hook that's, oh, it's Saturday night,
yeah.
and put in a bunch of play-by-play clips from different teams and stuff in that and created a big piece. I love working on bigger pieces like that.
Yes.
They're super
like longer
fun.
Form.
Yeah.
What's like the longest piece that you would create that would run on radio?
I think the longest one I've done to date is probably about a minute and a half.
Yeah.
But the thing is, there's not really any rule for it. Like my boss said, and I always try and kind of live by this rule, that if you produce something that is awesome enough, they will find a spot to air it.
Yes.
It doesn't matter how
yeah.
long it is.
Yeah.
Right? If it's good enough and there's enough oomph in it and it has a purpose.
Totally.
And keeps people's attention.
Yeah.
They will, it doesn't matter if it's 10 minutes long. If it's 10 minutes of epic awesomeness.
For sure.
They'll find a way to get it on.
So you told us about what your work day was like earlier. What do you do when you're not working either job?
That's a good question because that doesn't happen very often. Sometimes at the gym, I dragon boat.
Oh,
I'm on a dragon boat team.
What? That is
yeah.
so cool.
It's super fun.
Amazing.
I mean, not doing it so much now because the lake's a little cold for
yes.
that. But
yes.
we actually do land training in the winter. There's a place out in Scarborough that has an indoor paddle pool that's designed so that you can sit on a bench beside it. And it's got a tank beside you.
That's
and you can still,
so cool.
Like, yeah.
I had no idea.
Get all technical about it.
I love it.
Yeah.
What women, professionally or otherwise, do you admire?
See, that's a really hard question because there are so few women.
I know.
In our industry.
I know. I mean, we were talking about this before, about how in our industry, in the commercial world of audio, there are so few women because it's engineering, which is very technical, combined with music, which is very male dominated. So together, both of those make it even more slim for women to have opportunities.
Yeah, for
and,
sure.
And for you, in radio, there are lots of women working in radio.
Yeah.
I used to work in radio. There are not a lot of female producers in radio. But in the sports world, like, that's just a whole nother level.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely not many doing sports at all. And it's funny, one of my coworkers, when he first met me, he said, hey, look, a unicorn.
Yes.
Because female producers are so rare.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you're familiar with Kelly Doherty in the States. Kelly.
No.
Okay, she was the imaging voice for Ryan Seacrest.
Oh, okay.
His Top 40 show for the longest time. And she's gone on to do so much stuff. Like, she's kind of branched out on her own now. She's got a new website called The Imaging House, which is a really big resource for anybody doing production. You should actually check it out. There's tons of stuff on there. And she's really doing a lot to connect a lot of females that are working in the industry as well together, both in the U.S. and in Canada as well. She's doing a lot of amazing stuff. She's super, super talented.
Awesome. What is the best piece of advice you've ever received?
I think the best piece of advice I've ever received would have to be from my current boss, who told me that if your work isn't getting rejected, then you're not doing it right.
Like, really? Like, to push boundaries?
Exactly, right? Like, if your work isn't getting rejected, then you're just kind of playing it safe and doing the same old thing all the time.
You're not
trying anything new.
Yeah.
Right? Because every once in a while, I'll go into a studio, I'll be like, hey, my work just got rejected.
Yeah, and you're like, and that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm pushing boundaries.
I had some fun times, worked on this thing, and then pitched it to my boss, and he went, my other boss? And he went, nah, no.
That's
I went,
good.
But I tried it anyway, because for the however many times that you pitch to him and he says no, there's going to be some times where you pitch to him and he says yes, and that's super cool and awesome.
Totally, totally. Yeah. So I'm going to flip that around. And what advice would you give to young women who might want to get into working in sports, in media?
Marry rich. It's not too late for law school. Oh, my goodness. So I would say, like, just keep that passion for it and don't let anybody tell you that you can't do it. And the thing is, like, even if you're not super into sports at all, as long as you have that passion for imaging itself and you understand the brand of the station, that's what's going to make you successful. You don't have to have an ultimate love for the even if it's not sports, even if it's for, you know, a CHR station.
Yes, yeah, because, I mean, that happens all the time where people in radio are, even announcers who hate country music are then suddenly hosting a country music morning show.
I did that for 9 years. I worked in Peterborough at Country 105, and I hated country music so much, and I had to voice track the evening show there, and I was just like, country music sucks. Now I kind of like some of it, and I'm like, ugh!
I was going to say, but do you still hate it? Like, how do you feel now?
Well, like some of it. I can name like a few songs that'll still make me really angry if I ever had to hear them.
Oh, that's too funny. That's too funny. Well, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Great advice.
Thanks.
From both you and the advice that your boss gave you.
Yeah. Glad I can just pass it along.
Thanks for listening to Sisters of Sound. Hit that subscribe button and follow us on Instagram @sisters_of_sound. Bye.